Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the measuring stick. Let's go, hook him up! I just whipped your ass.
You
take it all away. I'm going to dog you until I wear your Texas ass out.
The game is ours to play.
And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Over the Top Radio. I am your host Ed in San Antonio, and I'm joined by my co-host Craig. What's going on, Craig?
Greetings and salutations, Ed. How are you this evening?
I'm doing all right. I was a little angry very early this morning when I listened to the Brian and Vinny show, or the Brian and Craig show, and did not hear a plug, Craig.
What can I say? Things happen.
Yeah, you should have just said, hey, little midget, stop and let me plug my show before you turn it off.
That's not my place. And as far as I was concerned, the tape was still running. So what are you going to do?
I don't know. I have no idea. Couture is on the line. What is all this going on, Couture?
Not much. What's the problem?
Craig being unprofessional, and, you know, he could have advertised our show to, like, thousands of people. And he failed to do so.
Well, make sure you're
down. I was soaking hard. I almost had tears in my eyes as I threw my paper out this morning.
Well, you got issues then. You had tears in your eyes over that.
Thank you.
I was just trying to help the show, you know, that's all. But anyway, how are you guys doing?
Show's beyond help.
Doing well. Had a couple of days off. Work is a little bit slow, so they sent me home, which is not a big deal. So just been catching up on movies and being a housewife. Pretty cool, actually.
If you say so.
I'm telling
sure,
you.
How about you? What have you been up to?
Not much.
Not too much. Well, I need you to... What's that?
Nothing I want to tell you about.
Oh. Well, right. Well, how about you tell everybody else while I call our guests?
Okay. I'll tell everybody else what's not going on with me. Nothing's going on with me. What about you, Craig?
No, you already heard my story. Ed, call our guest. How long are we staying with this young lass?
I don't know. Ask Ed.
Ed?
He's calling her.
Wow. This should be interesting. I know very little about her. Because, you know, she makes movies that I don't watch.
Well, I'm not like that. I do watch movies like that.
Oh.
Sorry.
That's none of my business what you do in your spare time. Just find it very ironic that... this is what Ed wanted to achieve tonight. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah. What's really ironic is she gave him her number. Think about that. Right?
Yeah.
That
Craig, can you introduce our guest, please?
Absolutely. I'd be more than happy to. Our guest tonight is easily the most beautiful person to ever be on this show. And she's been in many, many films, but we won't talk about those tonight. And tonight, her ultimate challenge is warding off the advances of one Ed Laredo. Please welcome to the show, Tarina Michaels.
Hi, guys. What's up?
We're just having a good night, and we're going to talk to the rest of tonight. And we're really excited to have you on. This is actually the first time. I'm actually kind of sad because this is the first time I'm not interviewing you live in person. I'm actually having to do it on the phone.
Oh, I know. I miss you guys.
But so how you been doing, Tarina? How's life in Florida?
I'm doing pretty good. Florida is awesome as always. Way better than stupid San Antonio, no?
Now, speaking of San Antonio, it's been a while since you've been in town. When can we expect to see you?
It's in the works. I don't know exactly when, but I've been talking with Brandon, so hopefully we can figure out something soon.
Cool. I remember the last time you were here, you got attacked by one of the fans. It turned out to be like one of the wrestlers'
yep.
wives.
Was it you?
Yep. I didn't know it was his wife, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I thought that was it. I was just watching the show, and I was like, man, is that a shoot, or is, like, what's happened over there?
Yeah, well, I may or may not have hit on her husband in the hallway earlier, so what can I say?
Cool. I also remember the guy. It seemed like every wrestler at ROH was part of the ring crew, except for that guy who was walking around like was trying to act like he was a superstar just because he was a little jacked up.
Is the weather treating you fair so far in Florida, Tarina?
You know what? I've actually really enjoyed the weather. Little worried, you know, hurricane's kind of coming close,
right.
But I'm actually loving the weather right now. I have the windows open and everything, so.
Good. So it's not in your direct path yet?
Not yet.
Well, I didn't even know there was a hurricane coming.
Yeah, hurricane.
I didn't know till yesterday either. I heard it on the news, and I'm like, what?
Well, I hope it doesn't hit you too hard. One of our biggest listeners, his house got damaged in the last hurricane in New Orleans. And so hopefully that won't happen to you.
Yeah, I hope he's okay.
So, but the main reason we're having you on the show today is you got some big shows coming up, and we wanted to give you an opportunity to plug your upcoming three big shows that you have.
Oh, right. Thank you. Yeah, I will be returning to Dragon Gate next weekend, actually, a week from today. I'm actually hoping the hurricane doesn't mess up New York too much because that's where I'm headed. Next Friday, November 2nd, I'm going to be with Dragon Gate in just outside of Boston. And then Saturday and Sunday we will be in New Jersey and New York. So I don't remember the exact city, so you have to look those up. But so I'm kind of looking forward to that.
Now, this is, I believe, your second time working for Dragon Gate?
Correct, yes. I worked for them back in on Mania Weekend in Atlanta.
Oh, great.
Arizona. It was in Arizona, wasn't it?
No, it was, it would have been, I don't even, I thought it was Atlanta. No, it wasn't Atlanta.
Atlanta was 2011.
Okay. Yeah, you're right then. And you were the manager of John Moxley at the time.
Mm-hmm, correct.
And I want to say you and Rebby Sky had some altercation at the end of that show. I think I was there.
Yes, yeah. Well, because that was also a two-day show, and the first day she kind of attacked one of the girls that I was partnered with, and so I kind of got a little vengeance with her. So the second day she, you know, wanted some revenge and ran into the ring and gave me a DDT. So
That's right.
And actually, funny story, because the person that pulled me out of the ring that day was Larry Dallas, and he's the one that I'm I will be working with this coming weekend. So I'll be working with him and a group called The Scene.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They're good.
Now, how did you get hooked up with
I'm pretty excited. It should be fun.
How did you actually get hooked up with Dragon's Gate?
How did I? I don't know. Somehow I got in touch with Gabe and managed to get on the show.
Cool. Any plans to be working maybe Mania Weekend at the big WrestleCon thing they have going on?
If all goes well, I should be there, hopefully. We'll see.
Hopefully that'll be great because I'll be there, Craig will be there, and a whole bunch of other of our friends from the Wrestling Observer website are going to be there. So.
Okay, cool.
We'll have your own cheering section.
That'd be awesome.
Cool. So, also, I wanted to ask you, how did you hook up with Hernandez and get involved in River City Wrestling? Did you get through both through Hernandez or Brandon?
Yeah, I actually, when I lived in Cali still, I had gone to a house show out in Bakersfield, and that's where I met Hernandez, so we just stayed in touch, and he wound up bringing me out to San Antonio, so.
That's cool, and you've been working, like, at least once or twice a year, it seems like.
Mm-hmm, yeah. I really wish it could have been a lot more, but schedules are hard to line up sometimes, so.
Yeah. For those that don't know, one of the shows, Trina works, she had a friend come all the way to San Antonio just to work with her, and somehow you got Mick Foley to come and do an angle at one of the shows. I mean, I actually got to meet Mick after the show. And can you talk about how that all happened? Because it's weird for Mick Foley to come to some, you know, like unknown show, basically. You know, he's as big a star as he is, but he was more than willing to do it to help you out.
Mm-hmm. I know. I feel very honored for that. Yeah, Mick's always been really cool. He's always really, really cool with me. It started on my MySpace. Somehow, we wound up talking, and then he didn't realize, you know, exactly who Trina Michaels was. So I had to educate him on who the real hardcore legend is. So that's what our little angle was, and he was just kind enough to come out there. I really appreciated him coming out. So
yeah, that was actually a pretty cool night, and. Dude, I actually have some. Craig, do you have any more questions?
I was actually going to ask, do you still stay in touch with John Moxley, a.k.a. Dean Ambrose?
I don't. I saw him that one weekend, and then he was gone.
Yeah, gone on to bigger and better things.
Mm-hmm, I know, I heard.
I just actually
awesome.
got to see him work a house show here in the Seattle area. 2 weeks ago, and he's awesome. He's doing very well.
That's great. I don't think he really does any of the social media sites, so, you know, that's how most people stay in touch these days.
Okay. I know that he does not. In fact, I think he tries to stay away as far away from them as possible.
His life's probably a lot happier, too.
Okay.
Trina, I had a whole bunch of questions sent in by this mystery listener, and so I want to go ahead and start reading some of these off. I can say these aren't my questions; these came through a message. And the first one is, what does ROH spelled backwards mean?
Oh my God! And I know exactly who sent that to you too. And I'm not going to say it; you can figure it out for yourself.
Okay, the second question, like I said, it's not my question. How did she get the nickname Moody Michael?
Oh my God.
Don't embarrass our guest tonight. Come on.
No, it's funny. It just cracks me up because I know who's been in these and I hate them right now. Moody Michaels. Because let's see, how do I say this? Sometimes I can be a brat, but a different B word.
Well, that was actually polite of you to say it that way. he also wants to know if you realize that you snore.
Snore. Yeah, but it's cute when I do it, so whatever.
He does have one serious question here. He says, there's like three SoCal talents made it to the majors. You have Ricardo in the WWE, Joey Ryan in TNA, and Trina in Dragon's Gate. How does it feel to be in this group?
I don't know, because I don't really think of myself as that special, so... But then, at the same time, it's pretty cool.
Now, you did start, if I'm not mistaken, in SoCal, and I think one of your first teams that you managed might have been the Ballard Brothers?
Mm-hmm, correct.
Cool. And do you still go out to SoCal for any shows, or do you maybe just try and work Florida or, like, wherever Dragon keeps up?
It's hard. I've been trying to get to some of my SoCal shows for a long time, and again, just schedules don't line up, and it sucks because I miss working out there.
Well, I bet California is a pretty cool place. And Craig, did you have any more questions?
I'll use my last question to plug each of these events that she's got coming up. November 2nd in Everett, Mass. November 3rd in Voorhees, New Jersey. And November 4th in Deer Park, New York. Check Dragon Gate USA, DGUSA.TV for further information.
Cool. And Trina, my final question is, I don't know if you remember, but I'm still kind of waiting on this date, so I'm kind of hoping we can take care of that when you make your next visit to San Antonio.
Deal.
Well, sounds good. Well, we really appreciate you taking some time on I'm sure you have a busy Friday night ahead of you, and we really appreciate you coming on the show, and I can't wait to see you. Hopefully I'll see you either ROH or WrestleMania weekend, because like I say, I will be out there.
Alright, cool. Hopefully I'll see you before then, but yes, hopefully I see you there as well.
Cool. Okay, well, you have a good night, Trina.
Alright, honey, you too.
Good evening.
Bye, everybody else.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, Ed.
What? What did I do?
Reading those.
And our other co-host has returned to the line, so let me put him on the line. Kachar, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm sorry about that.
That's all right.
I'm sure you're just intimidated to have a girl on the line, and you just got scared.
No, I would just prefer to... for the pizza man to have to wait on me at the door.
Well, what kind of pizza are you having today?
I got me a large pepperoni, mushroom, jalapenos, pineapples, banana peppers, and hot sauce.
That's a Texas pizza if I've ever heard one.
Yep.
I had a pizza the other day that was pepperoni, hamburger, bacon, onions, and jalapenos. That was the shit.
Oddly enough, I've got one coming right now. But it's going to have to wait because we have a little show to do.
Cool. Well, I guess we could go ahead and start on the preview for the Hell in the Cell, because this weekend happens to be Hell in the Cell.
It sure is, Ed. Hell in the Cell will take place this Sunday evening. And the lineup is as follows: Eve Torres versus Caitlin versus Layla for the Divas title.
Pass.
Kofi Kingston versus Miz for the IC title. Hopefully, Miz has got his win.
Good.
I think so.
Have you watched that main event show?
I have, but I haven't watched this week's yet.
It's probably pretty good as far as the wrestling goes on it.
Yeah. We have. Kane and Daniel Bryan versus Damian Sandow and Cody Rhodes for the tag titles.
I keep them on the champs.
I would as well, but actually, it really depends on everything they're going to do in the main event.
I don't. I could kind of... At first, I want to say I don't see them losing because you don't want to, like, end the game. Because the game supposedly should end when they finally do lose, and it's too soon to break them up. But unless they're deciding to make them instead of, like, actually, unless they want to actually make them start getting along, they could kind of have them lose to where they kind of, you know, want to get together and actually go kick their asses. So I guess I could see where they could actually lose.
Like I said, it really depends on what they're going to do in the main event. If they're going to take the title off Punk, I don't see them taking the tag team titles as well. But
and they've been featured so much, it kind of makes sense to keep them on them, I think.
Mm-hmm. Third from the top, we have Randy Orton versus Alberto Del Rio, which has had very little build because Randy's been filming a movie.
Apparently, Vinny thinks this is like the best build-up to any of his matches on the pay-per-view. I guess maybe because it's on SmackDown, and we're probably because SmackDown's on while we're doing the show.
Right.
Yeah, I don't really watch SmackDown, so that's probably why I haven't seen much of it.
I have not seen that show in, I would guess, about 6 weeks.
You know, I used to watch it when they would put the link on the website, but they haven't put that on the website since for weeks and weeks, and I don't know if that has anything to do with the Hulu Plus.
Mm-hmm.
That might be. That's true.
We have the world title match, Sheamus versus Big Show. I'm actually strangely looking forward to this.
Well, two big dudes are going to pound on each other. Of course you're going to make it.
Dude, his matches with Wade Barrett as of late, those have been my favorite thing on TV.
I think that needs to be the next program if he keeps the title.
Absolutely. It's a great, great match.
I think Wade Barrett's a future champion. I can see him on the world title at some point.
He's awesome. I've liked him for a long time. And in the main event, CM Punk versus Ryback in the WWE.
That doesn't sound like a lot of matches.
Well, I'm sure the cell is going to take some time to get down and get stable. So I would imagine
there's a truck John Cena out there to do something.
Yeah, I'm sure they're going to have some other BS segments as well.
Was there a Divas match, like a three-way or something?
Yeah, I already said that, Ed.
Oh.
Yeah. Anyway, this is for the WWE title, and it will be, of course, a Hell in a Cell match. I heard Lance's idea last week. I had an idea very similar to Lance's idea. I could almost see where Dolph Ziggler ends up leaving with the title.
He didn't have that contract for the WWE title, though. It was for the world title.
Right, but that's a way they could get out of it. Let's just say, or even...
Like he comes in and they beat Punk, and I don't know, maybe the referee's confused, and then the next night it's like overturned.
Or what if this... You have Ryback with the visual pin on Punk. Somehow the ref gets bumped. They open up the cage door to tend to the ref. Out sprints Dolph Ziggler. He runs at Ryback, and they both end up crashing through one of the panels in the cell, and the show goes off the air with everybody in a pile as nobody is able to get back to their feet.
I like the idea of... doing like the Mark Henry Big Show thing, like somehow the cage implodes or something.
They should just have Brock underneath the ring, and then when it comes time, just have Brock attack him from behind and destroy him, and then just take off, and then you have a ready-made shoot. Everyone keeps talking about the streak. You can't break the streak. He doesn't have a streak because they're not pushing it as a streak.
Yeah, they think
they're
like undefeated
or something. Oh, he's 102. He's 103. No, he's just going out there kicking ass. They are not pushing any streak at all. He's on an ass-kicking streak is what he's on. So, I mean, you know, it's not like it's about wins or losses. It's about kicking ass.
He booked himself into a corner here, I think.
I totally agree, and I will say this, and that's all I'm going to say about this. Punk better have his working shoes on to pull a match out of this guy. Especially a main event match.
Hopefully the house show match has been pretty good, so he's been able to lead him along.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm more interested in seeing what they do in the main event than the event itself, if that makes any sense.
Who's the idiot on the front page said, let's do a blood stoppage because you can't lose the title like that? That's so fucking stupid.
Yeah, dude, but that's actually what used to happen. I saw like a Superstar Billy Graham match where he was bleeding so bad that they stopped the match and he didn't lose his title.
Yeah, like it was back in the WWWF, back in the fucking 70s. Jesus.
Yeah, they had no business, so and shit worked back then.
Yeah, they hadn't done that finish in 30 years. The stupidest
finish
I've ever heard of.
The last time
they were stupid, the guy cannot continue, so he doesn't lose his title. That's fucking stupid. Right?
The last blood stoppage they did was Luger, as I can remember. And he wasn't even bleeding that bad.
Yeah, and he was a challenger, so it's not like when the title Kerry Von Erich, he lost his title when they stopped the match because of blood. When he went
and
up,
he was bleeding a lot worse than Luger was.
It was like a fucking Milt Masquerus and Billy Graham match in the 70s where he did that stupid shit.
Yeah,
stupid.
Also,
I beat you up too much, but I did not win the match. That's stupid.
Yeah. Also on the pre-show, it's going to start at 7:30 on WWE.com. It's going to feature an interview with John Cena addressing the changes made by one Vicky Guerrero.
Oh, God, that makes me want to puke all that bullshit the other night. That's horrible.
I had to, do a couple things during Raw, so I was kind of coming back to it while I was, live on, and I was thinking to myself, the whole night, I'm thinking, what the fuck is going on? I had no clue. What the hell was I was thinking to myself, I watch Raw every week. What the hell did I miss?
Well, you missed a secret meeting between AJ and John Cena that nobody saw.
Yeah, apparently. But Vicky never fraternized with the people that she's under her.
Right.
I think she screwed Edge for about 3 years while he was the champion. She was the GM or something.
Isn't she Dolph Ziggler's girlfriend?
I don't know. I thought he was Dolph Ziggler's mother.
So
Ziggler needs to get away from her anyway. She don't do much for me.
Yeah, he needs to start winning.
She's. I can't take anything she's involved with seriously. So
that's fair. Yeah. So I am actually looking forward to the pay per view. I think it's going to be. I think it's going to be a pretty darn good show. All in all.
Yeah, I like the main event. I don't really know what's going to happen. So. Kind of
right.
A lot of intrigue to it.
A lot of intrigue to some bad booking.
You never know. Watch this full of Miracle Island had something and be all right.
True.
That's the problem with these fucking cell matches. Where you have a particular show every single year at a certain time.
Themed pay-per-view, yeah.
Yeah.
That is a problem. I'm like Dave and Brian were talking about. At least we don't have the the bunkhouse stampede like we used to back in the day.
The bunkhouse stampede was cool.
There was
one of the stupidest final I've ever seen. They had a battle roll in the cage. That's like the
That's
stupidest
right.
final
that
I've ever heard
awesome,
of.
That was awesome, dude. That was awesome.
That was boring shit.
I just liked how that how they had that weightlifting belt in there and like the little thing that you put in the hole to keep it from the closing. I don't know what the hell it's called.
Yeah.
It's like that little thing that stuck in Dusty Rhodes' arm all the way, and it was pretty gross there.
Had to throw somebody over the top of the cage, and that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard of.
Didn't Luger eliminate Arn and Kelly at the same time?
Yeah, they went out through the door.
Yeah, all three of them somehow went out through the door.
Yeah, Arn's in there trying to push Luger out, and so Tully, he gets outside the cage. He doesn't touch the floor. And he's standing on the steps, and he's got Luger in the waist lock. So no matter what happens, Tully ain't winning. His dumb ass. then all of a sudden, they all go out at the same time.
And I just remember it was the Barbarian and Dusty Rhodes at the very end, at the top of the cage. And I'm thinking to myself, I wonder if anyone thinks that it's anyone other than Dusty Rhodes winning.
Did anyone think anybody but Dusty Rhodes winning when they announced the name of the event?
Right.
I still say that one. And was that one of their first pay-per-views?
Oh yeah, that was Yeah, because they got knocked off of Starcade, you remember, because WWF screwed them. And they went to the cable company and said, if you air their show, then you're not going to get WrestleMania. And WrestleMania 3 was the biggest like event ever the year before, made a lot of money. So
mm-hmm.
I think it only, Starcade only aired in like 7 cable systems.
I got it. I remember that because I watched it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't see it till it came out on VHS. You know.
And you said it was awesome, right?
I'm just going to save that for myself.
Hey, Craig, how could y'all not figure out that Mr. Anderson, Austin Aries stuff last night?
Okay, here's part of the problem. I show up at Brian's house at 10:15. Okay? Brian ends up getting there late. We start watching that show at probably 11 o'clock. Mind you, I've been up since 5. Brian's thinking, I'm selling him out right now. Brian's thinking around on his computer. I'm watching at an angle, you know, not in front of the TV, watching at an angle, and it just didn't make sense.
Wait, why are you watching it at an angle again?
Because I'm to the left of the TV, Brian's in front of the TV.
Why don't you make his ass move over?
It's his home. I'm not going to make anybody move.
You're
over.
You're his guest.
Oh my gosh. You don't know Brian very well, do you?
I would have fucking sat down and just pushed his ass over.
So I say, hey Brian, can you rewind that just a little bit? I missed something. He goes, I got it. I say, okay,
well,
dude.
Well, that's a failure right there.
Yes,
oh,
it was. And
I'm always
amazed by
those fucking misses. It's just like, somebody that does this for a living, you miss an awful lot of stuff, dude.
And then not to mention, it was like, should I take notes? He goes, oh, somebody put up a report on the front page. Okay, great. But then the report's like so detailed that I can't hit the points. You know what I mean? I just need
yeah.
like the one and big spots and stuff like that, you know? And this guy has written a novel and done a great job at it, don't get me wrong, but...
Well, that match was fucking, like, aside from, you know, you kind of missed what the whole thing was, is just like a freaking booking train wreck.
It was way overly booked, for sure, and then I could not get over how much Mr. Anderson's give-a-crap has gone out the window.
He sucks.
He's no good.
He had like a nice little run when he first got to WWE. I remember the Royal Rumble where he wrestled freaking Batista of all people, and he was way more over than Batista, who was actually the face in the match. And it was just all downhill after that. Now he's like, just gets worse and worse and worse, it seems like.
Like I said, his give a crap is gone.
God. Hey, let's
anyway.
See how 20 different ways I can say the word asshole. That's a promo.
Yeah. And just saying it just to say it. You
yeah.
know what I mean? It's like a kid with a new toy. It's ridiculous. But yeah, anyway, other than that, I thought Impact was decent. But yeah, I get done recording Brian's place at, you know, like 1:30, and I still got to drive an hour home. So, yeah, I will not be a regular on the show. Don't get me wrong.
I like the new announcing lineup last night.
I didn't mind that at all, actually.
Actually,
yeah.
I prefer the over Taz and Mike tonight.
I really like JB.
From what we've heard the last few years.
I really like JB. I think he's a great. I actually got to meet him the last time there in Canton. He's just an awesome guy on top of being, you know, a great commentator.
How come you haven't got him on the show?
Because he's with TNA, and I can't get guys from TNA on the show, Ed.
Well, let's try again. It's been a few years. Maybe they got some new people.
I'll talk to my good personal friend, Dave Lagana.
Oh, my God, his birthday's coming up. He's got Brian against for his birthday. Maybe he can do us a favor. I'll take any of the knockouts.
Maybe. Well, we have a list of all of the Hell in a Cell matches that have gone on since Hell in a Cell have been invented. I did notice there was one that was not on here. And I don't know if it actually qualifies. It was a Hell in the Cell match. But one Al Snow and Big Bubba are not on this list. Does that not qualify as a Hell in the Cell match?
I guess not.
Apparently the cage inside of the cage with canines does not...
That was so dumb.
It was the worst. All stemming around on the Al Snow eating his own hot dog. Fifi?
Peppy?
Peppy. That's right.
Pepper.
Pepper.
Yeah, fucking
remember,
Pepper.
Remember,
because
he ate pepper
steak,
and it was pepper, he turned into steak.
Yeah. That was like teriyaki or something, as I remember. Boss Man fed him his own dog.
How's Pepper taste?
Someone in the writing staff must have watched the South Park where Cartman has one kid's parents killed and then make chili out of them and has the kid eat his parents in the chili.
That's a good call.
Actually, never mind. I'll think of something.
Okay. Anyway, we're going to run down a list of the Hell in the Cell matches, and I would like everybody to take notice. The first few, way more important and in your mind than the last few. It's our list consists of 25 different Hell in the Cell matches before this weekend's event. The first one, and probably still my most favorite Hell in the Cell match, came at Survivor Series Bad Blood, October 5th of 1997.
Oh, it was Bad Blood. It was in your house.
Oh, I'm sorry. It says, I misread it. A single Hell in the Cell match to determine the number one contender for the WWF Championship at Survivor Series. This was Bad Blood in your house, October 5th, 1997. Of course, that was Shawn Michaels defeating The Undertaker.
Can you believe it was in your house?
Looking back on it, no.
I mean, you think this would be like, as famous as this match is, you'd almost think it was like a WrestleMania, Royal Rumble, one of the big shows. It was actually at an In Your House.
And what a match it was. Shawn Michaels getting slingshotted into the cage and gigging from the very top of his head all the way to the tip of his nose. And if you don't believe me, go back and watch the Raw the next night. He is stitched up, and there is a cut and a scrape all the way to the tip of his nose. Just a huge blade job. This was, of course, the debut of Kane, who came in and ripped the door off the cell. Shawn Michaels taking a bump from hanging onto the edge of the cage all the way down to the announce desk. Just Shawn Michaels bumping like a madman.
I mean, he took like two bumps off the top of the on top of the cage. Luckily, he didn't bust through. They had a big that first
the cage was
like the most strongest cage they ever made.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't so much that as I think the other cages were just more gimmicked, as we'll talk about with Mankind here in the next few. But
I remember
but,
the
yeah,
drop, the Undertaker on the steps.
His head
in the steps. Alright.
Yeah, that was an awesome pile driver. Shawn could. Guess what? Shawn was a great worker.
Now, this is back when he got fucked up.
Yeah. Well, it's amazing what
they built. Was this before or right after? Because, I mean, it was in his feud where he got hurt, but did this match happen before the casket match or after the casket match?
This was before the casket match. This was also the day that Brian Pillman found dead.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Good call. I totally forgot about that.
But yeah, the match was fantastic. I mean, it's almost too bad it's not one of the streaks. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because
Undertaker lost. Yeah. Well, that is true. But usually when you think good Undertaker matches, you think WrestleMania. You usually don't think the other shows. But this is like one of
your
best matches. And I mean. Yeah, it was fucking crazy. I mean, it was a crazy, crazy match. And then at first with Kane, it caught him look real goofy at first. I mean, I'm thinking to myself, this gimmick's not going to last. This is going to be a fly-by-night, and he'll be out of there. But apparently, he made it work after all. And he's been there ever since.
Yeah, I wasn't that mad about that finish because that had been a long-term storyline with Kane showing up for like several months, I think. But I was fine with it. And after everything Undertaker did to Shawn Michaels, he should have probably won. Should have gotten fucked at the end.
Yeah, just and Undertaker really had the match won. Of course, this was a culmination of the chair shot heard around the world, and Taker at the very last spot before Kane came in, just drilling Michaels with that chair.
Yes.
Gosh, the chair shot.
Yeah, he beat the shit out of him that match.
Jeez. Anyway, moving along, number two.
Well, hold on,
was
real quick. Were you guys impressed by Kane on his first appearance? Because, like I say, I mean, to me, I remember it was a big buildup, but to me, when I looked at him, I was like, I don't know.
He appears to have gotten shorter over the years. He was taller than the Undertaker here.
Yes, he's not wearing his lifts and his boots and things like that because really he didn't need them. So.
Yeah.
But didn't know what to think of him the night that I saw him, to be honest. But this still goes down as one of the things, if you go to eBay and try to find this thing, even on a VHS, it's going to run you about $70 if you can find the commercial tape. It's crazy how much people want this, like a real commercial copy of it.
Well, just go download it.
Well, I know, but if you're looking, if you're a collector and you're looking for this, I don't know why, but it's massively hard to find this. You have to get a UK version a lot of times. At least that was my findings many years ago when I was trying to track it down. Anyway, number two was Undertaker and Stone Cold Steve Austin versus Mankind and Kane. This went to a no contest. So, yes, Hell in a Cell matches can go to a no contest. And this was done in Ed's hometown of San Antonio, Texas.
Third row for this match.
It was June 15th, 1998, and this was tag team Hell in the Cell from Raw.
Yeah, they were building up the Mankind Taker match for the King of the Ring, and so they had the Cell there. And so Paul Bearer came out and challenged Taker and Steve Austin to the match in the Cell. And I think Paul Bearer got trapped in there by himself. And Kane and Mankind were like on the outside going at it with Austin, and then Taker came up through the ring and just destroyed Paul Bearer.
And I just remember Kane was like on the roof, and then
yeah.
Austin like climbed up behind him and started kicking his ass from behind. It was like a badass.
You remember when Undertaker stood up at his house? He said, "Do you think I forgot where you live?" And beat the shit out of him there too.
Wait, say that again?
When he beat the shit out of Paul Bearer at his own house.
Oh.
I'm not. I can't say yes or no because I'm not 100% sure. But
why?
That angle. That sounds familiar.
Yeah.
This only went about 10 minutes, 10.5 minutes. But of course, this was to close out the show in San Antonio.
I remember at the end of it, they went off the air with the Still in Progress, and I think Austin had finally gotten on top of the cage and was going at it with Kane or something.
Yeah, I just said that, dude.
Oh, I don't listen.
But it's like I think Kane's trying to get into that. He's trying to get into the Cell to help Bearer because the Undertaker's killing him. So he's kind of like almost like laying. I don't want to say laying down, but Austin, the way he just jumps on him and just starts fucking wailing on him is fucking. It's just an awesome visual.
Well,
and I mean it was awesome on the TV, but I was right there. I mean it was like, wow, dude, that was. I remember that show. That was badass.
Kane was upset there was his paw in there.
That's right. Okay. 2 weeks later. June 28th, 1998, we had the King of the Ring, and it was Undertaker defeating Mankind in one of the most brutal matches that you will ever, ever see. I watched this. I was out with my family. The show was recording, and when I gotten home, my mom and dad were saying goodbye to their granddaughter and us, and I turned this match on. Just in time to see Mick Foley flying off the top of the cage, my mother put her hand over her face and said, "Is he alive?" And my dad said, "Wow, this is a lot different than it used to be." And I said, yes, Dad, it is a lot different than it used to be. And he said, and you're training to do this. I said, well, I'm not training to do that. But, yeah, this was phenomenal.
Well, hold on. Katrina, can you run down the events as well while you were watching the show? This is almost like the JFK assassination.
Yeah.
Everybody remembers.
Where were you?
This next.
Katrina, run down your
memory of this match.
I think I was still sperm back then when the JFK thing went down. Don't know where it was.
JFK thing, but this one.
I was over to a friend of mine's house in Louisiana, and we'd starting to get the pay-per-views regularly because we'd gotten. I was always back into the WWF, but some people, until the Austin thing, they were still watching WCW, which got pretty bad at the time. So, started watching the WWF pay-per-views, and we're sitting there watching it. And he came off the cage, and that just, like, holy shit. And then I was standing for the rest of the match.
Right.
Know, just in the living room there. I was just standing up because of...
Like, you're in the arena.
I didn't know if they were going to call this thing, if something happened that wasn't supposed to, or the man's still alive. I mean, Vince McMahon's out there. You know, all the agents are out there, and Jerry Lawler's not doing his puppy stuff no more. You know, he's just, he's being serious, like somebody died.
Yeah.
Jim Ross is like, Jim Ross, this was one of the best calls of Jim Ross's career. Probably because it's real.
They killed him. They killed him.
This is probably the most famous cage match of all time. At least I think so.
I would imagine that clip has been seen more than probably any other thing in pro wrestling if you add up all the just casual fans. Hey, you got to see this. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I mean, I wouldn't surprise that, back then, if like this was also like something that happened that also got turned more WCW fans to WWF, because when you heard about it, you like had to go out and watch it. Like the most amazing thing.
I just remember I was watching it with this one buddy, and we were just hanging out, smoking out, and he was kind of sitting like in front of me on like a folding chair, and I was on like the little couch in my room. And I just remember he grabs him like he's going to throw him off, and I'm like, he's not really going to throw him off. And then he fucking throws him off the fucking cage.
Yep.
And me and my friend both like just stood up because I was just our reaction. And I just remember I was just like, I don't even know what to think. I was just like, holy shit. And then my friend just mouth agape, just turns to me and then starts, was that supposed to happen? And I was like, I don't know. And that was a very intense. And then so they're wheeling him out. And if you got the VHS tape of the Many Faces of Foley, which is an awesome little VHS where it's Foley talking to the Hardy Boys about his matches, and they're showing the highlights, and they got the dramatic music, and then he springs back to life and starts going up the cage, and you just hear JL going crazy. And he started climbing up the cage faster than he did the first time. Which is crazy.
This was with, like, I think he had a separated shoulder or something.
Yeah, his shoulder was out of socket. And a tooth in his nose.
Well, the tooth wasn't in the nose yet.
He was trying to stick his tongue out through the bottom of his lip where it was cut open.
Oh, gosh.
But he climbs back up on the cage, and then, of course, but it's the choke slam, and when he's given the choke slam, all the little things holding the cage, I don't know what you call them, just gave way, and the door just slides open, and he just comes and just hits the mat, and he was always pale, but I never seen Mick Foley more pale in my life. He was more pale than Sheamus. He looked like he was freaking dead for a minute there.
And a chair followed him down and nailed him in the mouth.
Yeah, and that's probably where the tooth came and got on his nose.
Well, originally when Undertaker was going to, do the choke slam, I think they rigged the cage to, like, one part of the top of it fall in, so it's like a ramp, so he just rolled down into the ring.
Exactly.
Instead of just taking
the
big
side.
Oops. And they were up there. That's the first time that they were up there. Remember, Undertaker's foot went through the cage while they were fighting up there.
Well, you could see the zip ties actually popping off when they were on there the first time. So they, of course, had gimmicked the cage to you know, fall like that, but I don't think anybody expected it to fall like that.
Yeah.
That was
yeah, just and then you know, it was so out of whack that, you know, a couple referees jumped in there. Terry Funk jumps in there.
Yeah,
and
he got so lined out of his shoes.
Yeah.
Yeah, they make it sound like it was like a big time difference. But basically, as soon as Undertaker got down there, he pretty much grabbed Terry right away, gave him the big choke slam, choke slams him out of his shoes. I just remember Mick Foley's book, he says he starts to come through and he's like, why are there tennis shoes in the ring?
Yeah. And as I remember, Taker rolled his ankle getting down, and that was like the safest thing he did the whole match. Just what a ridiculous
and then you know, he slowly beats on Foley. It's not like he jumped on him like right away, you know, he kinda took his time. And the Foley was, you just see he's fucking out of it, you know. He's concussed, he's like, he looked like he's a zombie, but he's so pale. And then after a few minutes, you know, Taker goes for the classic Undertaker, he starts to walk the ropes, and Foley, hits the ropes and knocks him down, and then he's there in the corner smiling with his tooth in his nose, and then you hear Jim Ross, he's smiling! Oh, my, I mean, it was just, you know, that Jim Ross, everything he said on that show was just fantastic.
And they're still continuing to have a match in the middle of all this, which was kind of funny.
Yeah, and I mean,
not much of a
play later,
but still, you know, this is less of a match and more of a spectacle.
Absolutely, this was a stunt show.
And the whole match lasted what, 9 or 10 minutes?
Yeah,
17 minutes.
I remember after everything, then you got to bring up the thumbtack, and I don't think I'd seen thumbtacks up to this point in wrestling.
Yeah, I only had because of the old IWA deathmatch stuff that I got, but yeah, that's probably.
Yeah, I had the tournament where it came down to Foley and Funk, and him and Terry Gordy had like a thumbtack. Well, they had like the square that had the thumbtack, and Foley had his face in it, and Gordy stomped on him. And
is that the tournament where they promised like the biggest explosion in history, and then like a sparkler when it went off,
something like that.
No, that was just in an Onita match. This is they had some the explosions that they hit was pretty good. I just remember on Foley's book, he's talking about how they took him, they took Terry Funk, they took Leatherface, who was Corporal Kirchner, and maybe somebody else. It was all the Americans, and they took him out there on the field, and they showed him. They had the board with the barbed wire and the explosives, and they were going to demonstrate it for him, so they blew it up. And Mick Foley's like, oh, my God, what the hell is going on? And how do we get out of this? And then he says that Terry Funk starts to talk, and he's like, oh, God, Funk's going to save us. He's going to get it out of this.
The voice
and
of
Funk
reason.
Says, you don't have enough explosives in there. You need to put some more so it really looks good.
Yeah.
And Foley and Leatherface were like, what the
fuck? Not to get completely off topic, but I've got this one video of Onita, and they're wrestling, and this alarm siren, you know, get out of the way, you know, and the guy scurries out of the ring. Onita's in the ring, and you've seen the exaggerated nuclear explosions where there's a smoke ring and a mushroom cloud. I kid you not, this happened in the wrestling ring in one of the Onita matches I've seen. It's just so ridiculous.
I saw one match. I think I read in like Pro Wrestling Illustrated or something. I think it was the Sheik and Sabu, maybe against Onita, and I think Tarzan Goto, where they had all the ropes were wrapped with towels and they were on fire or something.
The Sheik almost burned to death.
I have seen that.
Yeah, I mean, they had to call the match off because they didn't figure the heat. Because the heat was too intense for the guys in the ring. They're like being almost like burned alive, you know.
Yeah, they did the fire just on two ends of the ring, and it was literally, you know, we have heard of the term inferno match with Kane. This was an inferno. It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
It was like a bunch of white kids.
The flames got high. They got really high. It was crazy.
Oh, gosh. Anyway, moving along. Match number four. Mankind versus Kane. This went to a no contest. This was on another episode of Raw. at this point, the Hell in the Cell novelty had worn off. A bunch of third match in 98 alone, and just in the second part of the year. Kane versus Mankind, August 24th, 1998, in Philly. It went 7 minutes, 41 seconds, and I wish I could say I remember this match, but I do not.
I think that's when they were doing the Undertaker and Kane, are they together? Because the Undertaker's facing Steve Austin at SummerSlam or something.
Okay, that makes a little bit of sense.
Isn't that where they had the coffin and like the Undertaker turns and he's driving the coffin away?
Yeah. I just remember an awesome AC/DC music video.
That's what I was talking about. Yeah.
Not to be outdone by match number 5. We have the Undertaker defeating the Big Boss Man in a Hell in the Cell match at WrestleMania 15, March 28th, 1999, again in Philadelphia, PA. This match only went 9 minutes, 48 seconds.
About 9 minutes and 48 seconds too long. I don't remember this being any good.
I remember this not being any good. In fact, I haven't seen
the
Big Boss Man.
I don't remember.
Is this the what?
Boss Man got hung at the end of it.
Yes.
I was wondering how they did it.
I'm sure there was a harness of some kind. I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Anyway, less said about this, the best, I think. Now, match number 6, I remember, was very good. We had Triple H defeating Cactus Jack, a singles match for the Hell in the Cell, for the WWE Championship. If Jack lost the match, he would have to retire. This was at No Way Out, February 27th, 2000, in Hartford, Connecticut. This match went about 24 minutes.
Now this match was a good match. It was a great match, but
yes,
the damn cell was six damn gimmicks. They had gimmick holes so he could climb up this time.
Yes. I think that was probably the first time, because maybe Hunter's no good at climbing a cage. I don't know.
I thought they had gained a little weight since the last one.
Well, there's that. This is also the first time that the side of the cage was rigged, as I remember, and it might have been the debut of Mick Foley's barbed wire bat in WWE, or at least in Fire.
A barbed wire bat on Fire. I remember that.
Yes.
Remember, didn't he do something to get out of the cage? Like he got thrown in the cage and kind of opened up, and then he saw, you know, he could get out, and so he like just ran through the cage or something.
As I remember, it wasn't the door or anything. It was one of the actual panels on the cage broke, and there was enough room in between the announce desk and the barrier there where the cage actually flew open.
That's right. And then he lost, retired, and came back later.
Yes.
And then he took a backdrop through the cage into a gimmick ring.
Yes.
Yeah.
There was a big hole in the ring as well.
Yeah, I mean, the whole match was just two gimmicks. It was too vainly safe.
Well, with that said, December 10th of 2000, if you thought that match was gimmicked, this one, there was a hay truck involved in this one. We had match number 7.
Those wood chips.
That's right. We had Kurt Angle defeating The Undertaker, Triple H, Steve Austin, Rikishi, and The Rock. It was a 6-man Hell in the Cell for the WWF Championship at Armageddon. And as I said, there was a truck with wood chips. And the big spot at the end was Rikishi falling off the cage, taking the nasty plunge into a very padded truck with wood chips.
I gotta give him credit for having some big balls, because that's a pretty scary thing to do for someone that big. I mean, if he would have just been a little off and hit the truck or missed, I mean, he would have gone
over the China. The wood chips would be in the back there.
Yeah. Well,
building the tent.
If you have a bunch of cattle, you know, that, you know, made a mess, you could use the wood chips to cover it up, I guess.
Maybe they were next door to a rodeo, like when Cactus Jack and Van Hammer fought that one time.
in that ball camp.
They were in Birmingham, Alabama, so make of that what you will. I remember watching this match, and every man in this match was bleeding except Rikishi. And I was like, why in the world would they just not do the six-way juice, and then Rikishi fell off the top of the Hell in the Cell? And I said, oh, that's why. He didn't need to.
I just remember that ball. I thought it was kind of stupid.
Yeah. It was very, very much gimmicked. And
you should have just brought out a truck with an old mattress truck or something full of mattresses.
Right.
In your bed. Makes as much sense being in the back as a truck full of wood chips.
Yeah. Just like, Shane McMahon's old crash pad that he actually brought to the ring with him. I'm going to use this to padden my fall. But this was a interesting match, to say the least. You put six guys in a cage match, and whole pandelirium breaks loose.
Yeah.
Match number 8, we had Triple H defeating Chris Jericho, singles match, Hell in the Cell, Judgment Day 2000, Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah, I remember this being a pretty good match. I think it ended with a pedigree on top of a cell or something.
That sounds familiar, yes. Don't remember a ton of this match. I remember it was good. I don't remember it being great. But it went 24 minutes and change. The ninth match was one for the books. And it was only one for the books because I remember Brock Lesnar getting Undertaker's blood in his mouth.
Yes.
While they were in a headlock spot. Anyway, I'm sorry. Brock Lesnar defeated The Undertaker. Hell in the Cell singles match for the WWE Championship at No Mercy, October 20th, 2002. Yes. Little Rock, Arkansas. This went 27 minutes.
This was a pretty bad blade job by Undertaker.
Yeah.
The worst one, I think.
Worse than Shawn Michaels at the original Hell in the Cell. Easily.
Not worse than Eddie Guerrero in that match against JBL.
Oh, that was brutal. Yes. This was a pretty darn good match. Two big men slugging it out. I really don't have a whole lot to add. It was a brutal match.
Yeah, that was pretty good. That's when Brock was kicking some ass back then.
Yeah. Match number 10.
Hopefully they have a rematch for WrestleMania.
I don't know if they're going to go that way, but we shall see.
Sounds like this Taker might not even be at WrestleMania. Or
very
have a
possible.
It better be, damn it. Man, a lot of money.
Yeah. Match number 10, this was no good. I'm just going to go out on a limb here and say this. Triple H defeated Kevin Nash, Hell in a Cell for the World Heavyweight Championship. Mick Foley, special referee. Bad Blood. June
15th, 2003.
What was that? Who was that? Kevin Nash and Triple H. Mick Foley as the referee.
Oh.
Houston, Texas. Went 21 minutes.
Glad I wasn't there that night.
This was Nash's return from the year before when he tried to walk across the ring and didn't make it.
Right. It was on one of his returns.
That was funny.
Yeah.
I thought a sniper got him.
Got him right in the...
That was awesome.
That's good. Match number 11, Triple H defeated Shawn Michaels, Hell in the Cell, Bad Blood, June 13th, 2004. Columbus, Ohio.
A long match and not particularly that good of a match.
47 minutes. 47 minutes.
But the match they had on Raw here in San Antonio was better than this one.
Yeah. Was that the one with the double pin?
Yeah, the one that lasted like forever and it was just on Raw. And, just the playing match is better than the Hell in a Cell one.
This match is just like slow and plodding. And says, okay,
yeah.
we're going like almost an hour, so we're going to go very, very slowly. I didn't like this match at all.
Yeah, this was not one of Sean's better outings, for sure. But number 12, we had Batista defeating Triple H, Hell in a Cell match for the World Heavyweight title at Vengeance, June 26th, 2005. This stemmed from Las Vegas, Nevada. This thing went 27 minutes.
I mean, this was an awesome match.
Right. Right.
Ed, do you remember anything?
Actually, I was kind of distracted. Could you repeat what match it was?
Are you looking at pictures of Trina Michaels?
It's Batista against
Triple H. No, actually, it's a funny story that I'm going to talk about as soon as we're done with this stuff.
Okay, that's fair.
Batista against Triple H. What do you remember?
Wait, which one?
Batista versus Triple H.
Oh, Batista versus Triple H. I remember it was pretty good. I just remember the build-up to that feud was my favorite part of the whole build-up, even more than the Hell in the Cell match, which was pretty good, was when Triple H had jumped... Danny Hodge. And he was bragging, and Batista's like, "You beat up an old man." I thought that was hilarious. But no, it was a good match. It was us and Batista was finally starting to take off, and it was pretty good.
Next one, number 13, we had Undertaker defeating Randy Orton at Armageddon 2005, December 18th in Providence, Rhode Island. Winter,
this is the one
minutes.
Where Bob Orton Jr. got fired.
Hepatitis
was right.
Flying in this match.
I can honestly say I don't remember a whole lot of this match. I remember
Bob gigged and got his blood all over the Undertaker. Undertaker
wasn't
happy about it.
Because he knew all this and didn't say anything, and Undertaker
was
fucking furious.
No, he's old school. He comes back in the day when, everyone bled and no one gave a shit, So,
mm-hmm.
I can kind of see his mentality. But, yeah, I mean, he should have said something. I mean, that is kind of fucked up.
Well, yeah, I know he almost got fired for it. And, well, it's the wrong person
fired
to have
it,
that in the Undertaker's match. Was that when Randy Orton was seeing shit in the mirrors when he was feuding with the Undertaker?
That rings a bell. You're probably right.
No, because I saw, I watched Are You Serious, last weekend or something, and they showed a bit where Josh Matthews is interviewing Randy Orton, and all of a sudden, Undertaker's voice starts coming out of Josh Matthews' mouth. Like he's been possessed. So stupid.
Well, they do this stupid shit with the Undertaker, but somehow everyone forgives it.
Speaking of stupid, match number 14 was D-Generation X with Triple H and Shawn Michaels defeating Vince McMahon, Shane McMahon, and Big Show. Now, the reason I say stupid is because at one point in this match, Vince McMahon had his head shoved up the backside of one Big Show.
How was that stupid? That's like one of the greatest visuals of all time. His head was up Big Show's
visual
ass.
You like that visual? Okay.
This was a 2-on-3 handicapped Hell in the Cell. It also says marks the debut of the amplified version of the cell, which means it was electrified on one side. Is that correct?
No. I think they just made it taller.
Oh, okay. Okay. I was thinking of the Thunderdome. I apologize. This is Unforgiven, September 17th, 2006. And this is about the time that the Hell in the Cells didn't mean as much as they used to.
Yeah.
There for a while, it was a big deal, and then it just became another gimmick match. I don't think I'm way off base saying that.
No. You're right.
Match number 15 was Batista defeating The Undertaker in a Hell in the Cell match for the World Heavyweight Championship. This was at Survivor Series. November 18th, 2007, in Miami, Florida.
Yeah, that's when Edge interfered, right? Edge returned, because I think Undertaker had beat... Didn't Undertaker beat him or something at Hell in a Cell?
Yes, but that's next.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So that set up, Edge came in on this one.
Yeah, get your shit right, man. What the hell?
Wait, stop. Undertaker defeated Edge at SummerSlam, and then after that... Edge returned and... Wait, I don't know what's going on. Never mind.
I think you were on the right base the first time. I think Edge interfered in this match, bringing on...
Some wrestling historian we have there.
number 16. The only reason I know this is because I have the notes, Contreras, so don't feel bad. Otherwise, I would have been completely lost as well. Which led to match number 16, The Undertaker defeating Edge at SummerSlam, August 17th, 2008, Indianapolis, Indiana. That match actually went 26 minutes, 43 seconds.
And it was a good match. Undertaker and Edge had some great chemistry.
The Batista-Undertaker held him so much, Edge interfered, because didn't that happen when he had one of his injuries or something, had to give up the world title or something? And
Batista.
I think it was his return.
It was his, was it the problem with his back, or was it one of his many arm tears?
I think he had some kind of more pectoral muscle or something. I'm not sure.
Man, that's what happens when you do roids, man. Your muscles just get mad, and they start running away from your bones. Anyway.
Yeah, the SummerSlam one, that was when Edge had defeated The Undertaker in the PLC match for the title, and Undertaker had to leave town, or he had to leave the company or something. He died, or something like that. I don't know.
Okay.
And then, you know, Vicky caught him getting together with the wedding planner, was Alicia Fox, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so she brought The Undertaker back and made the Hell in a Cell, Edge against The Undertaker, and then Undertaker wins, and I think the only blood was somebody who got a scratched finger or something. And and then afterwards he threw him into the ring, he went through the ring, and then the fire shot out of the ring or something stupid.
Now that sounds very familiar.
And then Vic and Edge were back together like 3 months later at Survivor Series, so all was forgiven. And he interfered during the awesome Triple H Kozlov match that Jeff Hardy was supposed to be in, but he had collapsed in his hotel room or was found in his hotel room or something, and everybody flipped out. They thought it was real or something. I don't know. I can't believe I remember all that cool shit. Come on.
Oh, Lord. We then had match number 17, The Undertaker defeating CM Punk, singles match, Hell in a Cell. This was the very first time the World Heavyweight Championship had changed hands inside a Hell in a Cell. This was at the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view, October 4th, 2009, in Newark, New Jersey. And the match went a whopping 10 minutes and 24 seconds, therefore even more devaluing the fact that Hell in a Cell matches exist.
Yeah, and this was the first Hell in a Cell pay-per-view, right?
Yes.
Yeah, this was the first one, and it was like, these guys hadn't even been feuding. He was the only other guy left to get a title shot. So they had the paper coming up, so they had to throw him in the Hell in a Cell. It was like nothing.
Right. And as I remember, this was the very first time that they had had multiple Hell in a Cell matches on the pay per view. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I can't remember what the other one was.
So the other one was Randy Orton defeating John Cena.
That's right.
And then the other one, there was actually three on this show, DX defeating Legacy, Cody Rhodes and Ted DiBiase.
I don't even remember that one.
I think it's the Punk match started the show. It was
out the gate, the first one, and DX actually closed the show, as I remember.
Hmm.
I think that makes the most sense to me, because these are in chronological order. So, anyway, like I said, the first Hell in a Cell match has meant a lot, and for the last few years, not so much. That leads us to match number 20, Randy Orton defeating Sheamus, Hell in a Cell, October 3rd, 2010 in Dallas. On that same show, we had Kane defeating The Undertaker for the World Heavyweight Championship, and John Cena defeated Alberto Del Rio, CM Punk, Jack Swagger, and Dolph Ziggler, a 5-man Hell in a Cell for the WWE Champion, and it was a Raw Dark match.
Oh, that was?
That's what it says. It says Raw Dark Match, September 26, 2011. So I'm sorry. The first two I mentioned were on that show. The third one was a dark match.
Oh, okay, because I've never heard of that match.
Interesting. That was in Kansas City, Missouri, and the match went 5 minutes and 3 seconds.
5 minutes for a Hell in a Cell match.
Sure, everybody liked to look in that cage and getting that thing set up for that 5 minutes.
Yeah. So that brings us to last year's Hell in the Cell pay-per-view. We had Mark Henry defeating Randy Orton for the World Heavyweight Championship. I remember this.
I think this was his first successful title defense after winning the title.
This was surprisingly good, as I remember.
Yeah, he won clean. Like the first month, he won clean as a sheet, and he won clean as a sheet on this one.
And
yeah,
later,
this is really the sign to fucking really get over.
Yeah. Yeah, Mark Henry had he had a good run last year. I wish the guy hadn't gotten hurt.
Yeah.
He really did have a good run. And on the same show, Alberto Del Rio defeated John Cena and CM Punk. Triple threat, Hell in the Cell for the WWE Championship. This went 23-58.
I remember it ended with Miz and R-Truth hitting the ring and the cage being down. And, you know, they were attacking everybody, but they got fired by Triple H.
Oh, that's right.
It was actually a pretty hot finish of that show when they did that.
And the very last Hell in the Cell that we saw, and when I say we saw, Ed and I were there live, we had The Undertaker defeating Triple H. Hell in the Cell with special guest Shawn Michaels, special guest referee Shawn Michaels, WrestleMania 28, April 1st, 2012, in Miami Gardens in Florida. This match went 30 minutes and 52 seconds in the building live. I thought the match was okay. When I finally got the Blu-ray about a month and a half later, and you could hear Jim Ross's commentary, this match ruled.
Yeah, it was a great match.
Yeah, it was badass. I just remember how everybody going crazy. I remember when the Undertaker finally made the big reveal that he had no more hair.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah, no. When you watch it, like a tape of it, I guess being in the audience, you couldn't. They were doing a lot of talking during the match, you know, like to kind of tell a story and everything.
Yeah,
they were telling each other to stay down, or he's not going to quit, or and all that kind of stuff. You might have missed being in the audience.
Yeah, and that's why originally when I was, you know, kind of giving my review of WrestleMania, I had actually thought that Punk and Jericho had had a better match. When you put commentary to it and you got the classic JR in there, JR sold that match and the storytelling all made sense and was good.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
I got on Netflix the other day. I hadn't seen that first Shawn match that he and Taker had at WrestleMania in Houston in quite a few years. You got all like all the matches from the streak on Netflix, so you can just pick and choose which matches you want to watch.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's a cool feature they have. So that leads us to this weekend's Hell in the Cell, Ryback and Punk. Will be very interesting to see what they do. I think tomorrow I'm going to set aside some time and watch Best in the World. Picked up that DVD this last weekend.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
I need to do that because I heard that documentary is awesome. One of the best ones they've done.
Yeah, that's why I picked it up, actually. If Paul Heyman says it's a great DVD and everybody should see it, I'm gonna go get it.
Isn't Krazak coming out on it?
I think so. I'm pretty sure he's on that because, you know,
like
he was
early IWA. I can't believe there's IWA in this stuff on a WBS freaking DVD.
Yeah. And Ring of Honor, too.
Well, I mean, I'm not surprised about the Ring of Honor, but
IWA.
I've been actually happy he's getting some money.
This is the bit where he goes back to the ROH training school or something in the documentary.
I haven't even unwrapped it yet, so I need to sit down and do that this weekend. So that wraps up our topic, and we're actually about 10 minutes ahead of schedule.
Well, what distracted me, I was reading this funny story, is you know that new highway they just opened, Couture, from like San Antonio to Austin?
Big story. I even know about
what
that.
What is?
The what?
What are you talking
that
about?
SH-130, where they just opened up. It's this new highway. It's kind of like a toll road. It's between San Antonio and Austin, and the speed limit is 85 miles an hour.
Yep.
Really? Yeah, 85 miles an hour. Shit you not. But here's the thing. You think people would be satisfied that at 85 miles an hour, they're pulling people over left and right fucking doing 100. It's crazy. It's like people are just being greedy, you know? It's like you get to go 85. What do you need to go fucking 100? Is it the fucking Autobahn?
I don't know. I guess they figure, hey, going 85, I'm close to it.
Right.
Might as well bump it up.
Well, I always have this opinion, if I'm driving and the speed limit is, you know, let's say it's 60 miles an hour, I know I will be in the clear to be able to go 65, because no cop is going to pull you over going 5 over. So if I'm on this highway in Texas and I see the speed limit is in fact 85 miles an hour, somehow in my head I'm going to justify going 90. So,
I guess I could see 90, but like I say, you know, it is doing like 100.
Right. And you people in Texas, I don't know what it is. You run a lot slower until you get to the freeway.
No, Craig, it's just that you didn't know where you were going. So
that's
why, like, I'll never forget where it's you guys in one car and it's me and the Hollis and my Jeep, and you were so lost that there was an exit ramp and the highway, and you decided to park between the exit ramp and the highway, forcing me to park with even less space right there between the exit ramp and the highway and wait for y'all to decide which way you were going. Plus, I was on E the whole time. I thought I was going to run out
that's
of gas
right.
on the damn highway. But
that's
yeah,
right.
It was a scary ride. Thanks a lot, Craig. Appreciate it.
Well, never a dull moment when I'm involved with the fray, I'll tell you that.
Thank God for, I guess you had to call Matt Clary for directions or something.
Well, that Houston area is confusing as can be. I can't believe you can be on a stretch of highway and then all of a sudden it's a different highway altogether.
Well,
didn't
Houston,
even change.
Houston,
didn't change lanes
Houston's
or nothing.
Different, dude.
Goodness.
Houston's just different. I mean, it's the highway in San Antonio is a lot easier. But the one thing about Houston, okay, the exit.
Yeah.
It was not the name of the street.
Right.
You know, it will tell you, okay, so exit, so the first street you get to is not that street. It's like one or two down. I remember just that first night, we were going back to the hotel, it was me and the Hollis, and I remembered what exit to take.
Yeah.
And I was getting ready to take it, and you guys went straight.
Yep.
And I was just so tilted the house, like, oh, man, Brian's going to be all ranting and raving because he went the wrong way.
Yeah. And there's many
times. Guys that got lost that night.
There was many times Cleary would just, you know, figure out where we were. It was amazing. He was omnipresent on that trip. And hey, you guys went straight. You shouldn't have done that. How did you know we went straight? I just know.
he knows Houston's pretty good. I'll never forget one time. I was back when Barb's son goes back home. We actually have to drive to Houston so he can fly direct to Charleston. So.
Right.
We somehow our navigational thing went out. We ended up passing where we should have gone, and we come up to this like big ass bridge that we're driving on, and she's like, I don't remember this. So I called Claire and I'm like, hey man, I think we passed the airport. We're on a giant bridge, and he's like, okay, you're on so and so and so and so. You got to turn around. You got to go two exits this way, and then I was like, okay. So
yeah.
he saved us on that trip. I remember.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I'll be in Houston in less than 3 weeks.
So yeah, then you forgot to buy me a ticket, you bastard.
I didn't forget that.
It's not about Ed. He's only 4 hours away.
Ed, buy
a
ticket.
Oh, you need a ticket.
Well, we're going to see Eddie Vedder.
Oh, I don't know him.
He's the singer for Pearl Jam.
Huh?
Little band you've never heard of.
I like that little Pearl Slam thing Matt Levy come up with. That was funny.
Anyway. So, yeah, that's it for the show, Ed. I mean, you want to throw out some plugs, and let's wrap this up early or not, huh?
Oh, yeah, let me throw out the plugs here because we got a whole bunch of plugs here. Everyone, check out AngryMarks.com. You can always download and stream our show at AngryMarks.com, along with a lot of other shows like the Angry Mark Show, Level for Shut Up, the O Show, just pretty much a show every night at over at AngryMarks.com. So everyone, check out them. Everyone, check out our page here at BlogTalkRadio.com/Contrere. You can hear older shows at BlogTalkRadio.com/Edward-Laredo. You can friend me on Facebook at Edward Laredo. Laredo is L-O-R-E-D-O, or Facebook at Ed in San Antonio. And I am now at Twitter at Ed in San Antonio, so follow me on Twitter. And I also got a Google Plus page, which I think is under Edward Laredo, too, so check that out. So everyone, check that out. Follow me on Twitter. Retweet our tweets for the show, and let's even get more listeners than we already have right now.
And you can check me out. I'm on Twitter as well. You can check me out at Proper, P-R-O-P-E-R, just like proper, and Jam after that. So Proper Jam at Twitter.com. Follow me. I follow Ed, and you can do the math. I'll also be moderating next week's big debate between one Brian Alvarez, one Vince Verhey, and one Gladys Gibson. So check out. What's that?
What are they debating?
They are debating whether or not there should be toys in Happy Meals, and there's one other topic.
If it's right to lie or good to lie.
Yeah, so they will be debating those. I will be their moderator for the evening. I'll see what I can do, Ed. I will do my best to get a plug actually on the air next week.
Did some kid choke on something? Glad they get the toys in the Happy Meal.
Well, it's not just that. I mean, I think that's what a lot of people would think at first.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it has more to do with just kids eating junk food.
No.
You know what I mean? Because the kids want to eat the hard, the really bad, calorie-ridden food because of the toy. And they think if there wasn't the toy, that maybe they would choose healthier options.
That's like the stupidest debate I've ever heard.
Well, that's what they're debating on, and I will be the moderator
you
next week.
You realize we live in a country of a bunch of fat asses, so, I mean, it might actually work if they get to them when they're young.
I'm going to need a timestamp for this segment.
I mean, it could have been that little, I don't know, what kind of toy, but that caught Craig's eye and sent Craig on the path to junk food and where he became as big as he's become.
Pretty sure Craig's going to be his size regardless of a toy.
Yeah. Dude, if I was 7% body fat, I would still be a huge man. Just saying.
But, I mean, you know, and have you guys noticed the new McDonald's drive-thru signs?
Can't say that I have.
No. They have the calories.
Well, they've had.
It has the price, and it tells you how many calories every. Like the Big Mac has, the McDouble has 380 calories.
They also have
so calories.
They've had that in Seattle for years because we are, we're kind of uptight here in Seattle. I'll be honest with you. So they've had that for a while now.
Really?
Well, canceled the supersize at McDonald's.
Yes.
That's fucked up.
Well, they're probably Seattle's probably going to adopt the whole giant soda thing that New York had banned here just a few months ago. So,
what do you mean the giant soda thing?
Well, you can't buy anything over a 32-ounce soda or a 24-ounce soda anywhere in New York City by law.
Well, let me tell you how you get around this. Okay.
By two?
Old bartending trick. You just go and you order your 24-ounce soda, and you ask for no ice because it comes out of a soda fountain thing. That's where it comes out ice cold. So you get more soda for the price of your 24-ounce, and it's just as cold as it had ice or not.
I got to have ice in my drink.
Every time I go fast food or somewhere, unless I'm at a restaurant where I'm going to get refills constantly, noise because you don't need it.
I'll
never forget how I found. Like, I used to be a bartender at a Red Lobster, and there was this one skinny black guy who would always come up and ask for a Coke with no ice, and I'd be like, "What?" So I'd always give him his Coke with no ice, and then finally one day I was like, "Dude, is it like a black thing where you just like hot soda?" And the dude just looks at me, shakes his head. He's like, "How long have you been a bartender?" I'm like, "A couple of years." He's like, "Have you ever tried soda with no ice?" I was like, "No. Why would I want to?" And he goes, "I don't like hot soda." And he's like, "Well, try it." So I just tried one. And I'm like, "Oh, Jesus. It's cold as ice, man. I've been wasting money. I could have always ordered a size smaller and got more soda." Well, not that I ever did. I always got the big one and just got more soda. But, you know, just don't get no ice.
You're an evil genius.
Did you guys see the Iron Man trailer?
Yes. Yeah, I'm stoked, man. That looks great.
Is Damian Sandow a bad guy?
I'm sorry?
What does he look like?
Would you say, Katar?
Yeah.
I said, is Damian Sandow the main bad guy? Because that's who he looks like.
Well, the character is the Mandarin.
I don't know him.
Yeah.
He's got a ring on every finger, like 10 rings, and each ring has a power.
Oh.
Yeah.
And for some reason, he's got Captain America tattoo on the back of his neck.
Mahatma Gandhi's playing.
What?
Ben Kingsley. I said Ben Kingsley's playing him. He played Mahatma Gandhi. Jesus.
All right, Eddie. I
have no idea what Katrina's talking about. So, Craig, you got any last words?
No, I'm good, man. I've got everything I needed to say. I'm ready to go have some pizza.
Any guests lined up in the future here?
Yeah, I got a couple of guys on the line, but I'm not going to give any. Every time I, say who I'm going to get, then something happens.
I'll send you this later, but thanks to those questions that I asked Trina Michaels, we may be joined by a former WWE superstar in the next couple of weeks, hopefully.
Katrina, I got your email, and I'll check into that guy as well.
Okay.
Cool beans.
Katrina, any last words that actually make sense this time?
Yeah, I got two words for you. Fuck and you.
Ooh.
That's okay. Three words, dude. You said fuck and you.
That's true.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, guys.
Well,
have a great weekend.
I'm
done.
I'm hanging on.
We'll end the show with Katrina's rudeness and unprofessionality.
Hey, you know what's neat? I got this.
Okay, what?
I said before you cut me off, I got this. I got Internet Explorer on my Xbox now, so I got the switchboard here on TV.
Oh, really? That's cool.
Yeah.
It's like Xbox got everything on TV. Craig didn't care. He hung up on you.
Maybe I can watch some pay-per-views on this thing. I don't know.
You need to go to YouTube and watch Star Blazers.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Everybody, come back next week.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the American shit. Let's go hook him up! Tonight.